Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ, and you who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit by faith are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. Would that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. For you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love the Lord your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Amen. So, chapter 5 starts kind of a new idea. To get the idea of a little breakdown, chapter 3 and 4, Paul explains his gospel. This is what he means by the gospel, everything that pertains to it. Chapter 5 and 6, Paul is describing how he practices his gospel. And so you're dealing with an explanation. Remember, we got into Abraham and sons and all that stuff. And now Paul is moving to a whole other aspect, is that we have the gospel. So what does it mean? How do we live this gospel out in our lives? And so he starts off and he says, the first word there, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. And so the first part, if you want to see how it is kind of laid out the next two chapters, the first part really is dealing with the practice of the gospel lived out in liberty. And then the next section is the gospel lived out in love. And then the gospel lived out in the Spirit. And then when we get to chapter 6, it's the gospel is lived out in service to others. And then the gospel is lived out in separation from the world, in essence. And so let's deal with this first one here. The gospel worked out in freedom, or practiced by freedom. And he's making this case that, you know, Jesus Christ set you free from the law. He set you free from these things. But when you adopt principles or rules, or in this case where he spends a bit of time talking about circumcision, when you begin to adopt these things, now you are no longer under grace, but now you're under the law. Whenever you add something to the finished work of Christ, you move from grace into law. And he says this, and maybe clarify, in verse 11, he says, "But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished." What Paul's referring to, he's talking about actually his son Timothy. If you guys remember, Timothy was a Galatian, and he's actually part of this community. And what happened was, Timothy is half. He's half Jewish and he's half Greek. To the Greeks, Timothy is Jewish. To the Jews, Timothy is a Greek, and so you know he's got this dual role and that he's going through. And so in this particular instance, Paul actually circumcised Timothy so he could join him in one of his journeys. And so we see that this was kind of a very specific case. And it could seem that the Galatians were thinking, hey, you know, what's the big deal with this? You know, you even circumcised Timothy. And Paul is basically going and stating this case that basically it was a special time. It was a special situation because he was half. And so he's kind of making that case, and he's saying that, you know, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? He says, then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. And again, it's the preeminent focus on the cross that really changes history. It changes all sorts of different things. And he's coming to this place. And then he continues on and says, we were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not, let me go back a little bit. Verse 12, would that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. Paul is kind of being a little bit cheeky here. And he's using the picture of circumcision, and he's using that to talk about these false teachers that have come in. And the mutilate themselves, the word there is actually cut off, which is a kind of a wordplay on what circumcision is, which is cutting and peeling. And his desire, his hope, he's not saying that these guys should be killed or anything. He's hoping that they will be cut off from their influence of the Galatian people. And so then he continues on and says, you're called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And so the gospel is practiced through love. And he talks about that a little bit, and then he continues on in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So he makes this picture. The Spirit and the flesh are constantly at war with one another. You can pick one or you can choose the other. And then just so we know, like, okay, so what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? We don't really have a clear idea of what that means. And Paul doesn't really describe it. What Paul does actually, he does the opposite. He doesn't really describe what it means to walk by the Spirit. He shows us what happens to us when we walk in the flesh. And this will be a very common way that Paul will address spiritual matters. He'll just give us the opposite viewpoint or what would happen on the flip side if we don't walk by the Spirit. And so he lays these things out. He said, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, which I forewarn you, just as I forewarn you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul uses this exact same phrase to the Corinthians as well. He lists up all these sins, and really, more than anything else, it's the byproduct of not walking with God. And he says, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's talk about a few of these things. The deeds of the flesh. Immorality, we can get impurity. Sensuality. Can I say a word here at church about sensuality? You know, I think you should be careful the way you dress when you come to church. I'll just be very honest with you, right? I think you should be very, this is not your social club. This is not a gymnasium. You know, this is not your workplace. This is the house of God. You know, and it's been a little disturbing at times how short people's skirts are. You know, it's been a little disturbing, you know, how many tank tops I see on Sunday. And I know I sound like an old man when I say these kind of things, you know, but it should say something to us, you know, this whole area of sensuality that we should, because the idea is love, right? And the idea is really not your comfort, you know, and it's not meant to be about me. Love is meant to be about other people. And so it should really speak to us a little bit about loving other people that in some ways I cover myself up a little bit. You know, and we're not giving license. And this is not just a female thing and a male thing. Even guys, right? You know, it's a bit troubling sometimes when I see guys wearing very, very tight tank tops to church. I'm like, what is this, pure fitness? You know, I mean, what is this, right? I mean, is this not the house of God? And should we not just be careful? I know you're buff, but come on, give me a break, you know, and stuff, and just very tight clothing. And it could be used as a license, you know. I mean, really, you know. And for me, I just been amazed sometimes, you know, at the shortness of people's skirts when they come to church, or the high rise shorts. I'm like, really? You know, is this how we're meant to present ourselves to the Lord, you know, on a Sabbath day, right? And I'm not saying that we need to dress like nuns, you know, and these kind of things. But I think there should be something, you know, in this area of sensuality that we'd be very aware of. Because this whole thing really is about love. I love others enough that, you know, I don't wear certain things, you know, that could distract and, you know, these type of things. And again, I know I sound like an old man, you know, and I'm not, you know, I am an old man anyway, but that's not why I'm saying these kind of things. But, you know, we should be very, very wise in the way that we make ourselves, our appearance to others, you know, especially in the house of God. You guys understand what I'm saying? And then it continues on. You know, jealousies, you know, enmities, sorcery, all these things. This is why it's important to go through Cascade and different things, because there's all kinds of occultic influences in our life that you may not even be aware of that need to be cut off, you know, from ourselves. Envying, and you know, a lot of times we like things like outbursts of anger, disputes, envy. A lot of times we just take this as just normal human behavior kind of things. We envy, we get mad, it's not necessarily get mad, but these are talking about frequent outbursts of anger. You know, someone's got rage issues. And we just take these things as just normal parts of being human. Yeah, they are in one essence, you know, but another side of that too also, you know, is that this is... And these people, when you operate in these things, you don't get to inherit the kingdom of God. You don't get to be part of what God's doing, you know, on this planet, being part of His kingdom. And I don't think this is a necessarily talking about a salvation issue here, right? But you don't get to be a part of what's happening in the kingdom of God in that way. And so, we look at other people with jealousy, and we just kind of write it off. Paul's saying this is serious kind of stuff that we should be very aware of. These are things that poison our soul and in such a way that it cuts off fellowship with God, you know, and it makes us not to be partakers of His kingdom, you know, here on this earth. And obviously drunkenness, you know, we're very aware of that we should be carousing. You know, carousing is... kind of a way of talking about like strong flirting, you know, and this kind of thing. And he says, you know, just be very careful about these things. And then he goes, and now he's giving the other side to this. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit, and you could actually take these and you could just put it right next to all the deeds of the flesh, and this would be the antithesis of all these things. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Let me translate this correctly to you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, period. Okay? When you look at this thing, remember, it says, the Bible says it's the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It's just one fruit, and that fruit is love. That's all it is. Everything else is actually a byproduct of love. And so, let me lay this down. Joy is love strength. Peace is love security. Patience is love's endurance. Kindness is love's conduct. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's confidence. Gentleness is love's humility. Self-control is love's victory. All these things are a description or a depictment of love. It's the fruit of the Spirit, just one, and it's love, and it's manifested in joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And he's talking about us is, what does it mean that we walk by the Spirit? We see it's the manifestation. Even to this point, he actually doesn't really talk about how to walk by the Spirit. You know, but he tells us what happens when you walk by the Spirit. He doesn't really tell you, you know, how to walk in the flesh, but he tells you this is the byproduct of walking in the flesh. Drunkenness, carousing, sensuality, jealousy. These are what happens when we are walking according to the flesh. In other words, when the flesh is overcoming us, this is how we're going to move. This is how we're going to walk. We're going to get angry all the time. And things are going to happen in this way. And he says, and if we're walking by the Spirit, again, he doesn't really tell us how to do that, but he says the byproduct of walking by the Spirit will be these multifaceted manifestations of love in our life. In many different ways, in many different things, you know. And he says, you who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is what it's about. You belong to Christ. So the flesh has been crucified. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another, and it continues on and on and on. The fruit of the Spirit: joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is this what is emanating from us in our life? Are we emanating joy? Are we emanating peace? And peace, not in the sense of an absence of conflict, but peace in the midst of conflict. Peace when it doesn't seem like there should be any peace. Or I should say kind of the stability or the security of love in our lives when our world is falling apart. Is this what's the natural overflow of our character and our life, and is it operating this way? Or can we look at the fruits of the way we are, and is it manifesting in immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing? You know, or is this the overflow of what's going on in our lives? And Paul is laying out this really black and white picture. It's like it's one way or the other. It's either in the flesh or it's in the Spirit. And he implores us to walk by the Spirit, because it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Amen? So let's close our eyes. And let's do a really simple, honest assessment of what's coming out of us right now. What is really coming out? Are we manifesting primarily the flesh? Or are we manifesting primarily the Spirit? Let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. Are we oozing in the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of the flesh? And ask God to touch us and heal us. If we find that as we're praying, that most of what's coming out of us is fear, it's immorality, jealousies, we sing, let's go to the Lord.
I need you more than yesterday. I need you, Lord.
Pray that we would learn to walk by the Spirit. However way that God manifests that life in you, that we would see good things come out of our relationship with God. And if you are struggling with one of those things of the flesh, just submit it to the Lord. Just give God your weakness and turn it into something beautiful. Only He does stuff like that. Ask God for forgiveness. Say, Lord, I just want my life to emanate love, all the different facets of that love, the fruit of the Spirit flowing through my life. Let's just spend some time this morning. Let's pray that over yourself. Pray it over the church. go to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for our friends, their family members are going through illnesses. Let's ask God's healing word to come in power. Let's pray for miracles just to flow in through their lives, and the spirit of encouragement would come and touch their family members as well. Let's pray. Pray for others that are sick, but also need Jesus in their life. Let's pray that God would move upon them, heal them physically, as well as heal them spiritually. Let's pray for others that are going through different infirmities. Let's continue to lift them up before the Lord. Brothers and sisters that are looking for work, let's ask that the Lord would just open up doors for them supernaturally, that they would make connections throughout the week. But even in this time where they're not doing much, they would really draw close to God and just use their time well. Let's pray for our friends. So our mission prayer focus, let's pray for China. Let's ask God to continue to move upon this nation. Let's pray for our church plant in Beijing. Let's ask God to put his hand, continue to put his hands over Pastor Sam, Kim and his family, and Chris and his family, and for Mary, the leaders there. Pray that, I know there's a huge team coming in from Beijing to the retreat. Pray for just a real glorious time for them as they connect to the larger body here in Hong Kong. Pray for the Chung family. They should be coming here fairly soon. Pray for a good trip here to Hong Kong, and so they can enjoy the retreat as well. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for the Basarabas, Leanne, Edie Clark, the kids in Chichihar, and the government and the churches. And let's ask God's hand to be upon this nation and our friends that are ministering there. Pray for our staff and our board and missions committee. And let's pray that above anything else, that in all three of these groups, that they, each of us will be men and women of prayer, that we will really give ourselves, especially for our theme this year, that we'd really pray, and that all those things that come out, all the work that comes out, all the decisions that come out, would just be coming out of a place of prayer, overwhelmingly out of a place of prayer. So just lift up, pray for protection, the families, and ask God to really use all the staff and board and missions committee for His glory. Pray for Febe Ministry and the Korean Church. Let's ask God's hand to be with Pastor Salomon and his family and the Korean Church as well. Pray for God to continually use them and a real breakthrough would happen in the church. Let's lift up. Pray for our retreat. Let's pray that with all the people that signed up, that God would just meet with them in a powerful way. I pray that as we get to Nansha, and that there would be no distractions, that people would really fall deeper in love with God, that Holy Spirit would come and empower and just move in our lives, transform us and touch us, that we would be so changed and transformed in these 3 or 4 days that we get to be together. And so let's just pray for the retreat. Pray for every person that's coming, that they would really encounter God in a fresh, powerful way. House churches tonight. This is the Bonham, Kowloon, Lan Kwai Fong, Old Peak, and Happy Valley. Let's pray for the members that have been around for a while. They will continue to grow and be refreshed. Let's pray for a lot of newer people that are checking out house churches in this time. Let's pray that there will be a real divine connection, and there will be a place where they can really grow and learn and give and receive. And so let's just lift up our leaders and our times tonight, and that Holy Spirit would just hover and move upon these meetings. So let's pray. Thank you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity you give us to pray, to seek your face. And we thank you for the cross, God. We thank you that Christ crucified, Lord, changed everything. Lord, it's because of that event, God, because of that sacrifice, Lord, that we can walk in freedom. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that you would just help us, Lord, not to make ourselves prisoners once again, God, but to truly walk in the freedom of Christ, the freedom of the Spirit, Lord. Teach us, God. Teach us to walk in this manner, Lord. We bless you, God. We ask you to use us today, God, to bring your Son, Jesus, all the glory that he deserves through our lives, God, and our work, everything, Lord. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Please enjoy your time of prayer. We'll see you guys tomorrow.